Hey everybody, this is Stully Hefty.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about something I've been dying to talk to you about, which is, let's talk launching a new product, a new company.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
You had a really big launch going on recently. I mean, you've been like building up your launch muscles like crazy over the last few years by launching multiple products. But the latest launch that you had, as far as I can tell, seemed to be the most successful one. And you're really onto something here with launching FYI. It's a Chrome extension. If you guys don't have it yet, make sure to go and search for FYI, pretty dope product that I'm using. So I wanted to just get the freshest, most up-to-date kind of piece of advice from you in terms of how was the launch, lessons learned, things that you guys did really well, things that didn't work anymore, if there are any like that. Just kind of an updated, here are the tips and tricks from a recent example on how to launch something.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's usefyi.com. The reason I'm giving you that is our SEO is not as good as it should be. So if you search for it on Google, you might not find it. It's usefyi.com. But you can always search for it on Product Hunt. You will find it. So we launched this thing on May 22nd. So it was a little bit ago. And I've had another launch that we launched on October 23rd. So that was what, like 6-7 months before that? Another product. So the DraftSend was the first product, and that was actually the number one product of the day on October 23rd. It was the number three product of the week back then. It has right now 1,700 plus upvotes, almost 1,800. I guess it was eight months ago. And it was another interesting fact is that it had 34 reviews that were just ratings, and then it had 7 like in-depth reviews that people did. And so that's the stats for that. And I'm going to contrast that to FYI because you said some interesting stuff. And I think this is something that worthy of jumping into that I haven't really talked about. And then on FYI, it was so far, obviously that one's 8 months old. This is literally less than a month old right now as we're recording this, is 1,139 upvotes. And it was the number two product of the day. No week rankings yet, or we didn't get any weekly rankings on that one. And here's the interesting thing. It had 47 reviews. So it had more reviews, less upvotes, but it had 25 detailed reviews. So that's 25 versus 7. Now, here's the thing. I want to point this out. In neither of them, and I do this on purpose, and it probably hurts me, but in neither of them did we ask people to give in-depth reviews. And as per Product Hunt's rules, we never asked anyone for an upvote either. So what's interesting is that with DraftSend, it was a product where we actually did a lot more work in getting other people to create presentations because it was a presentation tool where you can publicly have a link for it, create presentations, add their audio to it because that's what the product did, and then promote it on Twitter or wherever they wanted. And that got us a lot more upvotes by almost like 50%, right? Like 50% more upvotes, roughly speaking, because obviously that one's 8 months, so there's been upvotes trickling in since then. So you could argue when you look at some of those stats that, oh, DraftSend was more successful. The thing is, though, we had like 4x the detailed reviews with FYI, and we didn't ask for any. We didn't tell anyone, hey, go review us. We didn't do that on either product. And one got more upvotes than the other. And also, when it comes to Product Hunt, a lot of it does have to do with what day you launch on and what other things are out there on that day, right? And other factors that, like, honestly, are not under your control. So you just control the things you can control. And so with FYI, we had spent a lot more time learning about the problem, and we spent a lot more time figuring out what the right solution to that problem was, and we did not launch it until we really hit the mark. So you're right. It is for us and what we're looking to accomplish in the world. It was a much more successful launch than DraftSend. Even though if you look at the numbers and you're just focused on the vanity of the number of upvotes, you would think DraftSend was more successful.
That's so interesting. There's two things you said that I want to dive into a little bit better. First is the, you know, you can launch something. I don't even know how to put this in words, but you can do something that seems exciting and will get a lot of people to give you a small token of support, like a like or an upvote or I don't know what, a retweet or something. Some form of like, yes, I approve of this. I also support this. And that's awesome. And that's the beginning, right? Or can be the beginning. But the question is like, what is success in a launch, right? And there's a big difference between a lot of people upvoted us when we launched. They kind of supported the product. They thought it was cool and exciting. In this case, potentially a lot of people just on a theoretical level or an intellectual level versus here's a product that got a little bit, I mean, still a significant amount of like support and upvotes and prominence, but obviously got a lot more usage and not just usage, created a lot more kind of instant value, so much so that a good amount of people in a very short period of time felt the urge to go and leave a detailed review, right? And so in your mind, obviously, that's a lot more valuable, like having people that are using the product and instantly see the value and feel so strongly about communicating or sharing that with the world that they're going to leave a review versus people that saw the logo, a screenshot, whatever it is, maybe even just signed up, but never used the product, but just liked the idea of it. So gave it a small token of support, right? There's a really big difference between what to focus on. And mostly when we think about launching, we're thinking about the big bang. We're thinking about upvotes. We're thinking about whatever, signups. We think about top of the funnel numbers, right? We're not like, oh, we're going to launch this product and we really, really want to see, you know, 50 people use it for 5 days in a row for at least 2 hours a day and then give us a really positive review or positive NPS score. Like, that's not typically the goal that companies and startups put on the whiteboard when they're thinking about their launch, right? It's usually a 1,000 upvotes or get, 10,000 unique clicks on this, or let's get X amount of sign-up trials, or let's get Y amount of people giving us their email address or something like that. Very much kind of top-of-funnel focus when it comes to launching versus kind of more the mid or the end of the funnel, like usage and satisfaction and value creation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think people tend to focus on the vanity of it. Oh, we had a great launch. We had more upvotes than this other person, or we had like this many number of upvotes. But like, you got something out in the world. You know, that's already a really, really big accomplishment. And I think it's super fascinating how, you know, when you dig into some of these things you look at on product and you're like, oh, they were the number one of the day. Yeah, sure, they were the number one of the day. That's great. But what did it do for their business? And how do you know it did something for their business? What's the quality of that product? Like, there's products out there that like launch on Product Hunt and they get no reviews. None. Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. It could be that they just launched and they didn't let anyone use it beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So I think the biggest thing to think about when you launch a product, and especially when you're going to do it on Product Hunt, because that is the spot, that is the place to launch almost any product, just because it's like the new tech crunch, it's a lot lower barrier to launching something. And it's not to say that you can't launch in other places. It's just an easy way to launch and get something out and get a bunch of users that are very specific, right? Like, these are users that will try any product is the way I like to say it. And that's good. It's like it's PR. It's like PR 2.0. You know, or whatever you want to call it, where you are able to get some publicity just by posting on Product Hunt and doing some extra work there. We did spend a lot of time on the images on the FYI page. We did spend time to make sure that we had early access users and use Product Hunt's upcoming feature that enabled us to get like a whole bunch of early access subscribers before we launched. And we did work with them to basically improve the product and get their feedback early and brought a lot of them into the product early so that they could check it out and things like that. So we did sort of, if you want to call it this, play the game on the platform, right? Just like back in the day, you would have to go make friends with a TechCrunch reporter or whoever you want to write your story, whether it's TechCrunch or some other publication. In this case, you are actually have super direct access to the audience. You put an upcoming page, even if you have a few hundred people subscribe to it, which everyone can basically get, you can get feedback from them. And so we did that. You go to our upcoming page for FYI and you saw like a little GIF because we like GIFs. And then you saw like this little copy talking about how we're going to help you save time and search through all your documents, find your documents. And then we got about 2,000 people subscribing there. And we basically were, because we had a survey too, asking them a few questions, we were able to pick off people smartly that use certain apps that we integrated with. So we were able to pick them off smartly and were able to actually get them to use the product early. And we got a ton of feedback. And, you know, that probably impacted the reviews we had because people were already actually using our product before we launched it. And so that's basically a big deal and something that people don't really think about when they're doing this. They don't really think about using the platform that you have out there in the best ways possible. That's why I call this like a new way to do PR. So I think those are aspects of a launch that I haven't really spoke about, which is like how literally you have a platform that gives you direct access to the audience that's essentially using, reading, whatever, the service, and this being Product Hunt specifically.
So I want to dive into the timeline for this, but like doubling down on the like play the game or understand the platform that you're launching within or the context that you're launching within, one thing that has to be brought up is that you've invested in Product Hunt and being a participant and being somebody that created value on that platform for a long time before launching your own products, right? You were like one of the top product hunters out there in terms of like, you know, sharing links and sharing new products and commenting and supporting product launches and participating in the community. You invested a lot of energy and create a lot of goodwill and value, which now whenever you are launching a product, you can benefit from, right? And rightfully so. But that's also something people don't see oftentimes. They just see the outcome, kind of you launch something and boom, it shoots up to the front page or it does really, really well. But they don't see the years that you invested in being a good, quote unquote, good citizen of that platform and a participant and somebody that created value and somebody that built a little following on it. So anything you do even before you launch is part of the launch, right?
I think that's a really good point. The funny thing about me is like, I don't actually use that as much as I probably could. I'm some level of top user somewhere on Product Hunt, somewhere in the top 50 at least, maybe top 100, maybe top 25, depending on kind of what stat you're looking at. I definitely invested in it. I was early on in it. And you're correct about all that. I would say that, let's say I was able to get, you know, like I'm according to upvotes, I am number 8. Right now, I just looked at it. I have 90,000 votes. I've got 247 products featured. The thing is, though, yes, I've been a good citizen. I probably could have commented more, to be honest, on Product Hunt, and that probably would have even helped me even more. So here's the thing about communities like Product Hunt and communities in general. If you're an active participant, you're not just upvoting and doing things like that. You're actually commenting, and that takes work. So someone today who wants to build a reputation and knows they want to launch a product and maybe product people or the people that are on the site are more of your audience, I would be commenting on a lot of different people's stuff. I would be trying products out and I would really make a name for myself that way. And the reason I say that is because I don't want people to think like I'm actually using that access I have because I've built it up over the years in a way that I feel like I'm using it to my advantage. I actually feel like I could be doing a lot more, and you could be doing a lot more if you really are sort of, you know, newer to the game, so to speak, and haven't really like, went deep into it. You could just be engaging with the community, and that just literally means commenting. Upvoting and stuff is great, but actually engaging, commenting, giving thoughtful feedback on people's things, you do that for like even a week or two and you'll have more followers on Product, and you'll even build an audience that potentially is stronger than mine in some ways. And that's the brilliance of a product community or any kind of community like Product Hunt. It was also the brilliance of TechCrunch back in the day. If you are an active commenter, even today, I bet if you're an active commenter and people see your comments regularly and you're being thoughtful, you will probably build a name for yourself there. Some of the writers might even start following you. In fact, now it's kind of an opportunity because there's not that many great comments on TechCrunch either. And so I got to emphasize that, yeah, I've paid my dues, so to speak. I've spent time for years, but I feel like I could do more, which is an opportunity for anyone listening. If you really want to engage with something, you really want that audience to love you, you really are going to like put your product out there or want to get writers to pay attention to you, just be thoughtful and actually engage ways possible.
I love that. That could be a whole episode on itself. It's just talking about like how to utilize these communities just by commenting and participating to really build a brand and build a reputation and build a network. Because there's so many spaces I see this within music, in sports, in many areas, these kind of obscure characters that are quote unquote nobodies that start participating and commenting, giving so much value, and all of a sudden they become really prominent figures in a certain industry or space, all through just participation and value creation through commenting, tweeting, or whatever, writing or sharing some kind of content within the context of that community. But putting that aside, let's just briefly talk about the FYI launch, the things that you talked about that you did prior to launching. What was the timeline of that? Like, when did you start doing that all the way up to like the day that you officially launched?
Yeah, so I believe right around April 17th is when we launched our upcoming page. And that's the sort of early access page where you tell people, you know, our stuff is coming. This is the product I'm building and it's coming. And then we started promoting that. So what we like is about a 4-week window between doing that, launching it on there, on upcoming, actually putting it on upcoming, and then actually launching it officially on product time. I think you should have about a 4-week window. I don't think you should do it wait longer than that. You can wait less time if you want, but that really depends on where your product is at. So we had a product we were basically ready to give people the day we put it on Product Hunt upcoming, maybe a few days after. And so then we could let people into it pretty fast after we put it on upcoming and they started subscribing. And so I think that's the key. If you want to launch something brand new, especially like a brand new business, brand new product, put it on Product Hunt upcoming for about a month before you actually plan on launching it publicly. And then let people in as soon as you possibly can and actually ask them for their feedback as you let them in into using your product. It is a classic, like what I like to call an early access period. And we used to have to do this through a landing page and an email on our own website and getting people to fill in their info there. Now Product Hunt gives you that ability and an ability to tap into their community, which means maybe you won't get 2,000 people subscribing before you launch, but you'll definitely get at least 100, 200, 300, which is better than zero. And then that'll lead to a more successful launch when you actually put it on Product Hunt, especially if you're engaging that audience and sending them messages and stuff. We probably sent them like every week we had at least one email, email, one message that we sent them, and then we were privately letting people in as well at the same time.
Beautiful. Two more things before we wrap this episode up, right? So one, I'm curious, how did you choose the launch date and what flexibility did you have? Bring it all the way to the beginning of the episode today where you said, you know, some of this is luck. Who else, the day that you're launching, it'll matter because you don't know who else is launching, what other products are launching, and that will determine the success of the amount of visibility that you'll get. How did you choose the day? Is there some strategy behind it? And when you choose the day, do you have any kind of flexibility of saying we're going to, I don't know, like observe the first few hours of the day and see what else is happening before we pull the trigger? Or are you just like, you know what, it doesn't matter. We put the date in and on that date we're launching no matter what. And you can't control the world and you just have to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think the first launch date, like obviously don't launch like when Apple's having a conference or anything like that. Actually, on the day we launched, Slack was having a conference. So I'm sure we could have had some better stats if Slack wasn't having their conference because some segment of our audience was sitting there at the Slack conference. And we didn't launch anything Slack related. So I think that would have been interesting. But on a higher level, like I would say that don't launch when there's a conference or something that you know is going to happen on that day. Make it 4 weeks after the upcoming. So work backwards from a launch date. And literally, I like to just set the date and then make sure it's reasonable, check with everyone on the team that it's okay, and then just set the date and just launch that day. And whatever's going to happen, happens. There, especially when it comes to if you're launching in a community like Product Hunt or even like you're trying to get PR someday, you can only be so smart. Like you can think yourself to death about a date. Right. Generally, I like Tuesdays personally. Wednesdays are okay. Mondays sometimes are okay, but I really prefer Tuesdays personally. But do I have any evidence for that? No. Did I do any analysis? No. I just thought through it. Like Monday, people are getting back to work usually. Tuesdays, they tend to have a little bit of more time, but they're still in work mode, which is great for most products. if you're launching a consumer product, it might matter less what day it's on. I might even consider doing something counterintuitive and launching it on a Saturday. And being like the number one just because you did it on a Saturday, and most people aren't online on the Saturday, so you can be number one just because that's kind of cool. So I think that's a big aspect of it in my mind. And really the bigger problems with launch date is organizing your team around it and making sure it happens and gets done. Because it can be a tough day. Not the day you launch, but the day before. For us, it was a very tough day. Like I had a call at 11 p.m. We had a call at 11 p.m. our time and 1 a.m. our head of engineering's time, where he was like, I'm not going to make it. Like, what do you mean you're not going to make it? You're going to go to sleep. That's okay. We're launching. And he's like, no, we're not launching. I'm like, no, we're launching. We're launching no matter what, dude. Like, there's no hell or high water. This is happening. I don't care. Right? Marie and I were on the call and we're just telling him, like, yeah, we're kind of tired too, dude. But, like, this is happening. You know, there's no going back now. And honestly, we told people we're launching that day. We told our whole email list that, hey, we're launching on this day. Right? And so I think the bigger issue is just like have conviction, set the date and do whatever you need to do to get there.
I love
it. Once you set that date, everything changes after that day. Everything's changed for us after that day.
All right. I love it. So much value in this episode. We're going to wrap this up at this point, but I promise all the listeners, we're going to do an episode, a follow-up one of what happens after the launch. I think that's a really interesting topic for us to dive into. What do you do?
Sounds good.
What do you do the day after you've launched?
Take a nap,
for instance. All right, but for this episode, we're going to say thank you for listening, and we'll hear you very soon.
Later.